The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the Key Biscayne Independent.
And again, I think of how I think of you, and I want to puke. She will always be my friend, though.
From Key Biscayne, Florida, this is Antisocial, the interview show where the bee stings of social media are medically treated with logic. I'm Tony Winton.
I'm Tom Mosloom. We're treating bee stings with logic?
Well, I ran out of the other stuff.
I use sarcasm the astringent of sarcasm to treat the stings of social media. That's my go-to.
Astringent.
Yes. Okay. It's a good word.
Yes. Very bitter.
Thought it was apropos to as a descriptor of what I do.
Well, you know what time it is, Tom?
Iguana mating season, Tony?
Almost as hard to watch.
It's radio.
Yes.
What's today's subject
we're
matter?
We're talking about municipal elections.
Ah. Yeah.
Almost as hard.
Yeah. Did another mailer come out? Are we?
Well, we had a story are we doing independent about mailers. Yeah. We'll get to that in our second segment.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No. This is actually my favorite season. I like when all the candidates come in and we get to interview them.
Right.
It's a good time. And today, joining us is candidate Fernando Vasquez, who is an engineer on the island, has been here for 20 years, and has been gracious enough to come into the studio and answer your questions and put up with me.
One of five people running for council, three seats this year, and one of four political newcomers. So welcome to Antisocial.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, I have to lead with a disclaimer. You are at a disadvantage. Two of the other candidates came in last week. I was not here.
Uh-oh.
So Jan Dillo sat in admirably, and she is obviously way smarter than me. And probably a lot more fair and a lot less distracting. So you're going to have to fight through the arrows of my nonsense while Tony asks you important questions.
No worries.
Well, we had this municipal election. I guess the first question is, why did you decide to run?
Great question. Actually, to answer that, I have to say that I have collected through my years and experience as a, you know, both in the public and private sector, I feel that this is a very relevant time, and it's the right time for me to come into government and bring all that experience that I have collected through the years and apply it directly. Case in point, probably you've all taken a look at a little bit about my background, about 30 years of experience working in usual infrastructure projects, stormwater projects, infrastructure projects, larger programs. I see the village. We are at a point right now. We're kind of at an inception point. We're kind of flipping from being a, you know, beautiful community, what I call the last bastion of a small town USA, into a more complex environment. A lot of people speak of growth. I like to call it more as a complex environment where people and societies becoming more complex and the needs are becoming more complex. So having that experience applied in cities like Fort Lauderdale and Miami Beach, I feel like, you know, I've collected all this knowledge, and I'm 60 years old now. I'm getting to a point of retirement. I think it's the next logical step to take and to bring in that knowledge into my community. And I have a stake on this one too. I live on the streets that flood the most. I live in an area that is significantly impacted by the impacts of climate change, sea level rise, rising tides, et cetera. And I feel like I can bring in that talent and that know-how and that specific skill set.
Yeah, resiliency is going to be a big issue.
And other things as well.
Particularly with the bond out there, particularly with the manager's report on the $250 million that will need to be spent, which is $150 million more than the bond is. Side by side, therefore, is not just the roads and bridges and hardening, but there's the money. Right. And so where do you stand on borrowing that kind of money, which is going to, you know, lead to a lot of other questions? There's going to be debt cap questions. There's going to be questions about raising taxes. There's going to be millage questions. There's going to be a lot of that coming out.
Yeah, I think first of all, we need to, obviously, I understand, we all understand that we have to make significant improvements. We're entering a programmatic stage, for lack of a better word, into the village. We have all these great dreams, these fantastic ideas, this vision plan, expansion, potential expansions of public facilities, looking at the causeway, looking at all the utilities we have to do. We're not dealing with pennies here. We're not dealing with dollars. We're dealing with millions. We're dealing with a multitude of dollars here that we have to really look at. And I definitely feel that we do have to extend our ceiling to a point that we are comfortable enough that we have enough to take us for a period of time. Now, does that answer the entire question? Well, that all depends. That all depends on the type of infrastructure that all the infrastructure needs that we have, and I guess the projection that we have in doing this. I mean, take a look at it. We have to fix all our stormwater systems. With that, we have to do also our undergrounding system, right? And to that, we also have to take into consideration the seawalls, because as the tides are increasing, the seawalls have lesser and lesser capacity.
Yep.
We're adding also issues related to the causeway, where we are anticipating to have some involvement. I don't know specifically what that means.
And the village's share of whatever the Army Corps.
Seawalls
will end up with beach renourishing. Renourishing will end up with more flood control. Flood control will end up with raising roads. This is all interconnected when you start thinking about it.
And I'll give you, a perfect example from my own personal experience, having worked in Miami Beach as city engineer, director of transportation and environment, as well as director of capital improvements. The city of Miami Beach started with back in the 90s, if I'm correct, started with a $75 million bond program for parks that took into consideration some landscaping. Now they're at $3.3 billion. Okay. So is it strictly, are we just allocating the money strictly for the material? No, we also have, the material is one component. You have to take into consideration the logistics, the implementation of a unified program where you're including, utilities for which we have really no control. We have a lot of control over our own utilities, our stormwater, to a certain degree, we have a good agreement with water and sewer, Miami-Dade Water and Sewer, so we can combine that. But what about AT&T? What about FPNL? What about Comcast? Those have different priorities, and they also have priorities on installation. So now you're getting into kind of a logistical conundrum, for lack of a better word, that needs to be put together. And then the residents, because once you start opening streets, residents would like to see some improvements, some above ground improvements. So there's been discussions about one-waying some streets. Now you have to take a look at the traffic flow. All considerations.
The residents want those improvements, but they want it to be like a magic trick. They don't want the actual hindrance of the process to make those. They want it, like every municipality that I work with, the residents want things. They want their engineering to be invisible.
Yes, and to a degree, they want their construction to be invisible too.
Getting to the specific question though, because I interviewed you before about the bond cap.
Yes,
the debt cap question.
Right.
And I heard you say that there is going to be a need for increased borrowing capacity.
Yes.
So are you in favor of, that's the question in front of voters. Are you in favor of doubling the debt cap?
Yes, at this point I am. I think it's not just double. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if that's why I started talking about this, to give you a sense that, is $180 million, which really that's kind of what it adds up to when you look at the 1% and the 2% going from 90 to 180, right? Is 180 sufficient? I don't want to alarm anybody or anything like that, but I just told you that Miami Beach started at 75 and ended at $3.3
billion. Right.
So the segue, the follow-up to that is, yes, I'm in favor of increasing the cap for obvious reasons. We have some significant costly infrastructure that needs to be put in place because we need to enable the village for other things too. We have a vision plan too that takes into consideration future, I would say, we really
traffic
are
circle out. At the
traffic circle. We're talking about a resiliency hub that looks at new shops, that looks at new infrastructure.
Expanding the community center.
I want to talk a little bit about that.
We'll
definitely get to that. We also have intends to have some participation in the causeway. Those are some significant dollars that we're talking about. So when you say, okay, let's put it in the case, I want to improve my home. I need to take a home equity loan. I'm just using a kind of a parallel, right? Maybe $100,000 enough. Well, you know, I got a big home. I want to do these. I have these great dreams. I need to make sure that my home is able to withstand, you know, impacts with flooding, et cetera. $100,000 seems enough, but is it going for a certain period of time? The real question here is it enough for what everything that we want to accomplish? So that's really where I feel my role comes in. And the sense that how to manage those dollars accordingly, how to look at these things as we move
along.
We should
tell our listeners that you actually presented to the village council when the stormwater targets were adopted by the council unanimously. Some would say they're fairly aggressive targets in terms of moving the storm waters quickly, certain amount of time, certain amount of rain,
right,
based on the current, you know, sea level rise estimates and everything. But you were the head of AECOM, right? A vice president?
I was a vice president. I was assigned to support the project here to do that, to support the project that we're the village was doing.
If anyone knows the intimate details of putting together the what Key Biscayne can expect, and I believe you said that our current drainage system is just completely antiquated.
Yes, it is. It's what's proper word for that. It's woefully inadequate to handle the level of service that we expect to have. A lot of people speak about these, we're getting more storms, climate change, and all that. That's all great. And nobody out there is, I mean, I've sat down in many different groups of people that have spoken between scientists, economists, FEMA, Wall Street. In fact, we had them one time in all one room. There was a big conference in Miami where we spoke with them, and none of them really have an idea what to do with or how to handle the issue of climate change. And I don't mean to digress on that, but it's not. Because that has an impact on how we further predict what we need for infrastructure. So right now we have to adopt a level of service that the county has been adopting, which is a 10-year storm event or 10%, or maybe 1 month out of the year where it rains very hard, maybe between 8 to 10 inches. So, and that's just a statistical thing. It may happen 1 year, may not happen another year, may happen twice the next year, et cetera. So with that, we have to develop a sturdy system that can handle that flow. Why? Sea level rise is a looming impact. It's really a catastrophic event when you think about it, because at the end of the day, we have to adapt to that. But what we have to, but that's longer term. That's looming. It's really going to be coming out slowly. We'll anticipate and we'll see it. What can we do right now to battle that? We can certainly strengthen our infrastructure and also try to divert or try to mitigate the impacts related to reinsurability and all the speculation that's going associated to that. Because if you're not telling me that Wall Street is not speculating on sea level rise, then you got nothing coming. These guys know exactly that all these coastal communities have to invest in bonds. They know we have to take care of it. They know we want to retain our way of life. So to them, Moody's comes in and says, hey, guess what? You know, if you guys don't take care of your infrastructure, we're going to reduce your credit rating, or your credit rating may be impacted. So we have that threat. That is what I call our immediate threat. It's a financial threat. And so we have to be prepared for that. And those are the shorter term solutions.
Already started with insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we need to look at how we manage that and how do we handle our reinsurability, our insurability throughout the entire village. I tell you, you know, Tony, I've been walking around. I've been, you know, meeting several folks in my campaign and getting a chance to go and walk through the driveways. And I see a lot of people that are, you know, the old McElhomes, you know, that are subject to flooding. Those people are completely disenfranchised. they feel like, what am I going to do? You know, the guy next to me built a big mansion and he's like 7 or 10 feet above ground and they're flooding me, you know, and I have to deal with the brunt of all this work. I mean, the area back where the condominiums are, you know, we have a little residential zoning area there. Those people are tremendously affected by this. And, you know, are we thinking about them? Are we taking care of that? It's not just enabling our community for future redevelopment because we're technically built out. Really, all we can do is redevelop. But we also have to take care of our residents, and we have to ensure that they're not flooding because they're the ones who also who are their condition, not them, but their condition is not helping our insurance rates. Sorry.
I mean, we have so many other topics. But the exit question on this is, do you think the village is in good hands so far? You worked on the plan.
Yep.
That's been it's still, you know, being mapped out. It's very an initial thing. These other firms are coming in to integrate all these services and how it will be planned to make sure that you're digging once, not twice, that kind of thing. Is the village on the right path from what you can see?
Yes. I think we have an exceptional manager that is mission driven. He understands, he's a civil engineer. He understands what it is to implement a program. And I'm telling you, he's a few far in between. I've worked under other managers and some of them are infrastructure challenged. We should be very thankful for the staff that we have. And so we need to make sure that whoever is in council is able to drive policy that supports this administration in moving forward with their plans.
I'm going to tell you the flaw in your campaign.
Please.
I've met you now for 8 minutes. I've listened to you talk. You're clearly the smartest guy in this room. If you run for council, they can't hire you to consult on this job. You should be running this as the provider, as opposed to sitting. Right. We're losing a really good vendor. Don't vote for him. We need him. We need to hire him.
Well, in the absence of that, the next best thing that I can provide is my knowledge. I do have all the faith in the manager, but
you offering me a job?
This is a terrible idea.
We're too valuable to lose on the council. I can't, you know, exactly. I don't understand.
All right.
When you think about it, I've been under a lot of different commissioners, I guess, and not councilmen, but commissioners on the beach and other places. And it's tough sometimes because you really are trying to relay very important ideas, you know, life-changing ideas to people that, I mean, it's not, you know, look, I'm not a cardiothoracic surgeon. I don't step into a room and operate on a heart. But I think it's important that we have somebody at council that can understand what is being presented. Otherwise, we rely too much on consultants, to quote Council Member Laredo.
Right.
We rely too much on these. Do a master plan for this. Do a plan for that. Do this. And we're just depending on them. And at the end of the day, we're not implementing because we don't know which way to start. So I tell you how to answer that. I'll provide a roadmap. I understand what the roadmap is, and I can be a guiding light to the village, to the council, and to the administration on how to implement this. My implementation days are over, by the way. I mean, right now, I just want to focus on being able to counsel. Yes.
Let's move on to some of the other topics, though.
Sure.
Because we've already been talking a long time. The village budget is coming up for a final vote next week.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some tension every season. Every municipality has the same tension. Key Biscayne's no different. The manager's current version of the budget calls for about an 8.7% increase in property taxes for people who are not homestead exempted.
Mm-hmm.
So about a third of the island is homestead exempted, so they're only going to pay 3%. Everybody else, the commercial properties and people who are don't live in their homes or renting them out, they're going to be paying 8.7%. One of the big changes made recently was to delete, we talked about this, the community center expansion. It's been planned now for a couple of years. It's been kicked downfield. What's your view of the budget? It's going to be, if you're elected, you're going to be dealing with this budget, whatever the vote is next week, because that comes in November. So what's your view of it? How would you vote if you were on the council now?
Well, I think the budget increase in relationship to what the budget is, we're talking what it's being a reduction right now since the last budget meeting of $500,000. So that's about, you know, maybe divided by 15,000 people. I don't know, I'm going to do quick math here, but maybe something in the range of about $40 per person. That year, I mean, that's to me, those types of budget discussions are better handled at an HOA level. You know, we are a complex community. We have to really be serious about what we're doing here. If we're dealing with little numbers, we're never going to get away. We're never going to be able to address the complex issues that we have. I understand it's a big issue. I understand that some council members take a position on that. But I wonder sometimes if the full vision is there. I mean, to argue over five, and I'm not saying it's small numbers, but in relationship to the issues that we have, and the needs that we have. I was in a meeting with the chief of police, and he's a great guy, by the way. And I asked him the point blank question. I mean, I think the issue of the boat is going to be taken care of through another side. But I said, how many boats you got? How are you handling the marine issue? You know, like in the Mashta sandbank and all the issues that we have there. We need to have that. Those areas are getting packed with people. We need to have more surveillance, more policing in that area. And we're just fighting to try to keep a boat that is dilapidated. And I just find that.
And according to the police, can't really be operated on the Atlantic side.
It cannot. Right. It cannot. So how do we protect, you know, and also, you know, we have all kinds of activities that are happening in the ocean. And we have to be able to participate in that and have significant participation and not just be scrounging out little pennies for something like that just to say we cut the budget to a certain point. Look, we need to be responsible. We have a fiduciary responsibility, but we can't be obtuse. And I think we are being that.
You're going to have an entire political faction on this island that's going to say those nickels and dimes add up. So we have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, and I honestly...
Tell me what they got up to.
You may not need to talk to them at all to get elected, but there's going to be a group that says the minute you said, yeah, I'm okay with raising the debt limit, they're not voting for you. Nope, debt cap, that's it. It's almost like a political litmus test on the island. You don't have Republicans and Democrats per se, but you do have a no tax, low tax group versus a, what would you call it? Responsible government faction?
Whether they vote for me or not, they're voting against their own best interest.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I look at it based on experience. Facts are facts. Imagination and things, you know, God, you know, they're ripping us off. We're giving them a blank check and all this stuff. None of that makes any sense. It's absolutely illogical. As an engineer, I see it as absolutely logical. We do need people that support the stormwater, the same ones that oppose the bonding. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I take a strong position on that because I know for a fact that we're going to need that money.
But let me get back to the budget, though. We were talking about that. So, and the question I asked was about the community center. It's overcrowded.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. At peak times, it's jammed.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I mean, traffic also gets packed in peak times. Right. Does that warrant that we have to build new highway?
Built 20 years ago when the population of the island was smaller and the demographics of the island were different. And it's been on the wish list for a long time. You're okay with cutting it?
So here's how I would like to approach that. I would like to get a better understanding of the flow that's coming in and out. I would like to get a better understanding of the peaks and how we can mitigate that first before we go into constructing a brand new building. Not to say that I don't want to have more facilities. In fact, let me just state I'm in full support of community growth. I'm in full support. My daughter went to school here.
Show me the numbers. You're an engineer. Show me the numbers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Show me first the programmatic problems. What I mean to say by that is show me what time people are coming in, where are the peaks, how can we mitigate that first, right? Before we invest in a full building and we start creating further impacts into the community, let's understand how that need suffices. You know, can we meet that? Even, you know, and this, I mean, you know, maybe now it's the time that we want to take the opportunity to assess that. I'm not saying we don't need it, but what I'm saying is that we do not have enough data to support a 100% need. And that's what I'm going at.
But if the data is there...
I'm not going to sugarcoat that, by the way. I mean, that's an important...
If the data is there, you bite the bullet.
Of course. I mean, if the data is there and it fully supports that we do need one, and we don't have, you know, we have no other mitigation opportunities, like, you know, here in St. Agnes with the new center that they're building, if we do not have other opportunities to mitigate the overflow, I think it makes for a great longer term objective. I have walked through the community center many times, and I haven't seen it packed. Sometimes I see it packed. Sometimes I see it empty.
You know, what's interesting,
though, upstairs. So I'm wondering.
Sometimes streets are dry on sunny days. There's no flooding.
But what's interesting? But our insurance rates are not.
I'm just saying.
But our insurance rates are not.
What's interesting, though, is as the conversation has developed, we've watched your position on this develop. You started off in the money conversation saying, listen, we're nickel and dime. We're arguing about pennies. Just put the community center back in. But as we got further into it, your framing sort of changed. That's actually a positive. I'm not throwing that as a negative.
Yeah, but I don't think I changed my framing. I think my framing is exactly correct in the sense that it maintains, because I want to see numbers. I would like to see something that truly justifies it. A lot of times we invest ourselves far more than we should, strictly on perception.
Well, my next subject matter is police and fire, because mm-hmm. there is a hot conversation that comes often on this island about over investing in police and in fire. Mm-hmm. They're coming up on their contract this year, right, Tony?
It's about a year off.
So you're going to, you know, if you get elected, you'll be on a council that's going to be negotiating a contract with police and fire, and likely involved in that contract is going to be how many bodies, how many police are we putting on the street? How many firemen are we putting on the street? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah. Okay. So, back in my discussion with the chief, I think he felt comfortable with relates as it relates to the current, how do you call it, shifts that he has, allocating staff. I think he's running 12-hour shifts, and he's got four patrols, and he's evening with that. But I think that the sense, and again, it goes back to perception. Crime is a moving target when you think about it, right? You really can't contain it. But we do know for a fact, based on the trends, that it's becoming more and more complex. I think that there are, first of all, being an engineer, I also believe in SEPTED. I worked a lot with SEPTED, which is crime prevention through design, environmental design. And there's a lot of components that we can do to help mitigate and to facilitate the police department in getting a better grasp on our overall security. And SEPTED includes not just cutting branches down, increasing the lighting in some areas, making sure there's visibility, but also, you know, having a sense of self-governance and having a sense of community, that folks are also keeping an eye on what's going on. We enjoy the benefit that we have a one way in and out of the village. So that in itself, it's a plus for us. I think that we need to look at that very carefully. I hope I answered your question. I want to make sure I do.
You don't have to answer my question, Simon. Tony's.
Well,
I'm just curious.
It's just a question that, an economic question that's going to be coming up in terms of the collective bargaining relationship.
Yeah.
So, we've had different council members have taken a big interest in it. Others have basically said, I'm going to trust the managers of the departments because primarily the big drivers are police and fire, and do that at the table. Some people have felt that that's incorrect. And others have said, no, we trust our managers to help form what the directions are to our bargaining team that bargains with the unions. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether you've been involved in that or not. You've had a lot of
Involved, actually. Talking to the chief, but we were both, I was involved with the FOPA in Fort Lauderdale because I related with a utility group that was part of the FOPA, and I've dealt extensively with collective bargaining agreements and negotiations with them. So, I understand. I have to see the details of that before I sit here and mouth off on it. I need to understand a little more.
How many police officers exactly do we need? I'd like an answer right now.
It's more about, you have the budget, and it, just for our listeners' perspective, right, is that we have a budget that – not just this year, but next year, at some point you have to plan for wage increases. There's a 4% cap on what the police department got. Inflation has been more than double that.
Right.
It's reasonable to expect that the the unions will be coming back and saying you owe us a little bit of money from last year.
There's the pension issue is going to be
So that's what I'm saying.
Hourly rates
and 60% of the budget is personnel.
Okay, so we can start by understanding that it'll likely be an impact. The question is, how do we mitigate that impact and how do we work around that with the proper logistics and the proper understanding? And I have full trust in this chief. This is a great chief. He knows unions. And like I said, we both dealt with similar unions in Fort Lauderdale, and I know how that union works in Fort Lauderdale, so I have trust that he understands how to handle this.
Right. I think we're time for the...
Yep, it's time. You've got 90 seconds closing argument. You're when it comes to issues of resiliency and engineering and the stuff that this community is going to have to do, I don't think anybody could argue against your expertise. So you've got 90 seconds to make a closing argument about all of the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think, perfect. Why am I running for council? For the other stuff.
That's your campaign slogan. You're welcome.
Well, for the other stuff is because I've been working in, I worked in the public sector for more than 12, 13 years or so. I've dealt with every single department that you can imagine, from fire, police, planning and zoning. You never asked me about the planning and zoning, by the way, I prepare for that. For planning and zoning, beaches, beach erosion, issues related to, the seawalls, climate change, et cetera. I feel that I am the most, I honestly feel I have the skill set.
You don't have to say it. I'll say it for you.
I have the
third party endorsement.
Now we have to give him his time again.
Well, you just told me not to run, man. You just told me not to run. Well, come on.
Don't interrupt that closing statement. Where's the bullhorn?
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. I bring the collective.
You can start again.
No, it's okay. We'll do it on natural. I have all the experience that I've collected through these years, both in the public and the private sector, make me the right candidate with the right skill set to guide the community, guide the council, be prepared to provide my input to the council as well as the administration, and a roadmap to success for our community. That's pretty much what I can say. Fernando
Vasquez. Tony with the mic.
Yep.
Fernando, thank you for coming in. Thank you very much. It's been an eye opening. I have mixed emotions about you running.
That's okay.
But I really appreciate you coming in and answering all our questions.
Thank you for being our guest on Antisocial, and we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
And we are back on Antisocial. It is the candidate round, Tony, where we get to have the candidates for Village Council come in and have a conversation with us, sort of tell us where they stand on issues so that the voters of Key Biscayne could make the most informed decision.
Right. And it's a different field from last time. Last time, 2 years ago, we had 10 people running.
Yeah, train wreck.
Yeah, this time it'll be easier, and that's why we're able on this round, we're able to give each candidate their own show, so to speak. And they're all going to be available on our website, so people can do that, and also a transcript. The transcript will be up of the interview, so if you prefer to read along or just read, you can do that too.
Awesome. So today we're doing two shows.
Right.
And this is the first of two.
This is the first of two. So we can do our banter now, or we can wait till after the second interview before we close this one up. We have a lot to talk about, though. Anything on your social media feed?
You've been following my social media feed.
Jan was the last two shows. So we talked about, the death of Queen Elizabeth II.
Yep.
And the reaction. So we kind of covered that ground. I don't know if we have any take on that. People might just be curious what you think?
I'm interested in the opposite, the contrarian view of the Queen. It seems to me that a lot of people have come out to make a point about colonialism.
Well, a lot of in our neck of the woods, a number of countries are thinking about terminating the Commonwealth status.
Correct.
Jamaica.
Yep. The question that I have, while I appreciate Queen Elizabeth and all that she has done over the 70-year reign, I question the need for a monarchy anymore. But I'm not British, so, you know, it's kind of like some guy who doesn't live in Key Biscayne spouting off about Key Biscayne. Oh, I do that too.
Right. Well, it's a system that for some reason, I guess it's historical reasons, it's the most robust, not the only monarchy in the world, but the most robust and well-developed and well-funded, certainly.
Yep. Yep. Are you paying attention to American politics at all?
How can I not?
It just strikes me how odd this primary season was, and now winding up into the general, how it's almost like the candidates are running for different countries. They're so different across the country. If you look at all of the senatorial candidates, you know, you've got Fetterman and Oz, you've got Walker and Warnock, you've got Kelly and, Arizona. It's fundamentally different. Not just, hey, we're on different sides of fiscal issues. We're on different sides of every issue.
Well, you're seeing compartmentalized bubble politics. People running within their own spheres, in sometimes their own media ecosystems, only dealing with media they want to talk to, and then hoping it's going to be my base versus your base, and I can get more of my people to show up than your people can show up.
And the stunting, the media stunting, like the Abbott and DeSantis bussing migrants to other areas of the country. That just seems like a stunt, like a made-for-TV stunt, as opposed to actual real politics. Like, are we sure we want to talk about whether or not bussing migrants to Martha's Vineyard is a good thing or a bad thing, as opposed to talking
These
about immigration?
Texas migrants to Martha's Vineyard, spending $12 million of Florida tax dollars.
Right. So do we want to have that conversation, or do we want to have a more serious conversation about the border and immigration as a whole? It just seems to me like the political stunting to try to get elected or try to make somebody else look bad is a distraction from the actual issue of immigration at the border. It's a serious issue. It's 8,000 people a day coming into the country illegally. It's the highest numbers in our history. And there doesn't seem to be a plan to either make it more organized or make it go away. I mean, don't you have to pick one?
That's a policy question. People don't want to talk about policy. They want to talk about emotion.
It's boring. Yes. Policy is boring. Policy, just listen to this show.
Right. Policy is boring. I don't know. Well, that's just two of the social media feeds, things we can talk about. And we actually have to do shows. I'm not sure we want to do a show about the monarchy, but we should do a show about immigration.
You think?
I think we should do one.
You think? I think that's probably... Boy, that's going to be a heck of a show.
That will be a great show.
All right. Is it going to be a live call-in show so people could scream at me?
I'm not sure we really want to do the live call-in thing. I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
Let's just invite people to come in and scream at us.
We'd have to have like an hour-long tape delay. We'd need a lot of tape.
So you need the beep. You need the beep.
Yes. So and then there'd be a question of who's the beeper. Who has the control? Is Sydney available?
Maybe, yes. Yeah. Sydney Vigil
she
was the most powerful woman in the room during the debate.
The most powerful woman,
yes. Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Well, we'll be having another debate, so we'll be advertising that soon.
Candidates have agreed. Are the candidates going to show up?
Yes, they have.
Will there be drama about whether they show up or not ahead of time?
Drama? There's drama about the issues, right? That's where the drama should be.
Yeah.
What's good? Why I'm opposed to this? Why I'm not opposing something or maybe not supporting something?
Maybe we get Manny to throw us off the air again.
Call him up. We'll do that. We'll do that soon.
All right.
Well, that wraps up this show. Our next guest is waiting for our council interviews. We'll thank our guest.
Show number two.
Yeah, show number
two. On its way. Well, that's all for Antisocial for this time. We'll be back. We'll be back whenever you want to download us, because we are now available all the time, every time, and on demand.
That's right. You can just listen to the next show on the player. But for now, be safe, everybody.
Oh, is that the line out?
Then again and again, I think I will have